How many of you have ever heard of Aesop's Fables? Anybody had to read it ever in school or anything? I've got it for you right here. Ignore the giant paper sticking out of it. It's marking my place. That's not part of the book. But this is a book maybe you had to read in high school or something like that. I got a Barnes & Noble edition here. And this book, if you don't know what it is, it just has all kinds of little stories, all kinds of animal stories where the animals, it's kind of like Chronicles of Narnia. They can talk, they give you moral lessons, all that kind of stuff. And so I had one story in here that I thought would be appropriate for a Thanksgiving sermon and to get us started today. This is the story of the stag at the pool. These aren't too long, so it's a little story time, but not a big story time. It says, a thirsty stag went down to a pool to drink. And as he bent over the surface, he saw his own reflection in the water, and he was struck with admiration for his fine, spreading antlers. But at the same time, he felt nothing but disgust for the weakness and slenderness of his legs. While he stood there looking at himself, he was seen and attacked by a lion. But in the chase which ensued, he soon drew away from his pursuer, and he kept his lead, as long as the ground over which he ran was open and free of trees. But coming presently to a wood, he was caught by his antlers in the branches, and fell victim to the teeth and the claw of his enemy. It doesn't have a happy ending, just to let you know. But he says, "Woe is me," he cried with his last breath. "I despised my legs, which might have saved my life, but I gloried in my horns, and they've proved to be my ruin." I think sometimes we do this too, as people and as a nation. A lot of times we are thankful and caught up in what is really irrelevant or just kind of bonus or something that might even get us into trouble, and we tend to not value or undervalue that which is really important, the real blessings in our lives. Or like the deer who we forget about our legs for the horns. And some ways we do that in our society, I think, is we live in a very blessed nation, and so things like food we take for granted. Some countries, people have to think about, will I get food today or not? And the only time we have to ask that is if we're really busy at work and we think, am I going to have a lunch break or not, right? We don't wonder, is there going to be food in our refrigerator? Is there going to be food at the store? Can we afford food? That's something that a lot of times we just take for granted. We forget to thank the Lord for the abundance of food and the abundance of care that we have because we simply take it for granted. We've always had it. The other day, Crystal and I watched one of the versions of A Christmas Carol, and that takes place in industrial England. And in that time, they didn't have heating or air conditioning. And so this particular movie, it was portrayed, it was very cold, and people were gathering around the fires and warming their hands, and the whole family was right there next to the fire. And that made me thankful. I thought, wow, I'm thankful for centralized heating. I go into any room in my house, and it's warm, and I don't have to worry about it. And I just flip on a light switch, and it's bright enough that I can read and see what I'm doing, and all that. And so these things are things that we it's not nefarious, it's not because we're not thankful, but we simply take them for granted because we've had them our whole lives. We also, besides living in a society that's blessed and sometimes we take things for granted, we live in a society where we feel entitled, or there are people who feel entitled to things, and people feel entitled to things they think that are their right that is not their right. And the problem with that is people aren't thankful. If you feel entitled, you're not thankful for what you have. You assume that which you assume you ought to have is a right, then you're not thankful for it. You think it's just automatic. It's what you should have. It's what everybody should have, and you're not thankful for what you have. And I don't think there's anybody, I've not met somebody who admits, "Hello, my name is Ron, and I'm entitled." That's not, people don't do that. But a way that I hear this come out of people's mouths all the time is people say, "I deserve or I expect a certain standard of living." I hear this a lot with couples and relationships or dating, and they're trying to figure out, okay, can the spouse give me what I want? And that's a problem because the standard of living, they don't ever say what it is. They don't say an amount. They don't say, you know, this is exactly what I want. But it's never just a roof over the head, just clothes for the body, and just a meal a day. That's not ever the standard. The standard almost always looks something more like six-figure salary, multiple cars, a nice big house with wonderful decorations, and nice food that they can have all of the time. that's usually the standard of living that they say, you know, I could survive as long as I have this standard of living. And that standard of living is usually a position of great blessing, of great privilege. And they take it for granted. And so we do as a society have one day a year, which is coming up. Why we're talking about Thanksgiving now is because we have a day where we celebrate and give thanks for what we have. And that's good. But all the more, this day is being overshadowed by Black Friday, where people all the more come together for a very short period of time, all more shorter and shorter and shorter, so they can leave and go fight tooth and nail for getting more stuff. And that, to me, is very ironic, and it really shows kind of the state of our Thanksgiving. Not that it's bad to do any Black Friday shopping, but if it overshadows our feeling of Thanksgiving, or it overshadows our thankfulness, then that's a problem. So today, we're going to be talking about how and why we are to give thanksgiving to God. We'll be in Psalm 92, if you want to turn there. This is an individual thanksgiving song, a psalm appropriate for Thanksgiving. We're going to see several points today you'll see in your outlines. First, we're going to see what we need to be doing, how to do it, and then we'll see four reasons why we are to do what Psalm 92 calls us to do. Psalm 92 is on the screens behind me, and I'll go ahead and read through it. Psalm 92 says this. This is a psalm, a song for the Sabbath. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night, to the music of the lute and the harp, to the melody of the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands I sing for joy. How great are your works, O Lord! Your thoughts are very deep. The stupid man cannot know, the fool cannot understand this, that though the wicked sprout like grass and all evildoers flourish, they are doomed to destruction forever. But you, O Lord, are on high forever. For behold your enemies, O Lord. For behold your enemies shall perish, all evildoers shall be scattered. But you have exalted my horn like that of the wild ox. You have poured over me fresh oil. My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies. My ears have heard the doom of my evil assailants. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord, and they flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green. To declare that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. So the first point we see from this psalm today is that we need to be giving thanks through worship to God. We need to be giving thanks by worshiping the Lord. That's how we give thanks. Thanksgiving ought to be an act of worship. We kind of talked about that last year pretty heavily. And this is not something that's optional. This is not something that we just do when we are feeling specifically blessed. We're really happy that day. The sun's shining. We have everything we want. And that's a day to be thankful. This is something that we as Christians are supposed to be doing each and every day, all of the time. There are always things to be thankful for. As Craig mentioned earlier, this has been a tough year, I think, for everybody. But though this has been a tough year, there are still things to be thankful for. There are still blessings that we ought to be worshiping the Lord for. We're told right away in verse 1 of our passage that it is good to give thanks to the Lord and sing praises to God. It's good, it's proper, it's fitting. God is worthy to receive our worship and the thanksgiving that we give to him because he's given us many things. We need to be giving thanks to God all of the time. We see this in verse 2. Not just at one time a year, not just on one day of the year. It's good to declare God's steadfast love in the morning and God's faithfulness at night. Morning and night we are to give thanksgiving to God. We are to be thankful to him each and every day, each and every week, each and every moment. This isn't just a one-time deal. This isn't just a make sure you say your Thanksgiving prayers in the morning. This is something we are to be doing all of the time. It's a proper position of worship that we are to have before the Lord. Now, the superscription of the psalm, which is the superscription is the little title above the psalm, tells us that this was a psalm to be used during the Sabbath, during worship. But that doesn't mean that, again, Thanksgiving is only when we gather for worship. Certainly that is one time that we give thanksgiving, but it is to be all the time that we're giving thanks. whether we feel like we're blessed or whether some burden is on our shoulders and we are less than thankful. How do we express this thanksgiving? Well, there's several ways we can do it. I'm going to list a few of the ways that we see in this psalm. First, we do it through music. That's the first thing we see in this psalm. See this in verse 3. The Jews used musical instruments in their worship to God in the temple. Now, I'm going to say something here. This is kind of a bit of an aside, but it's the reason I'm preaching to the choir here, because we use musical instruments. I'm not aware that that's caused any problems here, and maybe it did in the past before I was here. I don't know, but there are Christians out there, if you've not encountered them already, who object to using musical instruments during worship. So I'm going to explain why we use musical instruments for worship. It's not because I'm trying to convince you or change your mind, because I'm assuming everybody's on board, but it is to give reasoning behind this so that you can answer to somebody. Our reasoning behind using instruments is not just because, well, it's what the popular churches do, or because, well, we really like musical instruments, or they're shiny, or whatever. Those aren't our reasonings. Here are our reasonings. It's that God clearly delighted in using musical instruments here in the Old Testament. There's no command to use musical instruments. It's not that you have to use musical instruments to glorify the Lord. If you don't use instruments, if you just sing a cappella or you do something else to worship the Lord, that's fine. If your heart's in it, that's glorifying the Lord. And it is true that Old Testament worship is different than now. We're not up here offering animal sacrifices. There are changes in how we do worship because of what Jesus did. But God never endorses that which is sinful. He never did, he never does. So if there was an act of worship done in the past, in the Old Testament, that God endorsed, it's not sin. So musical instruments, and we see this in many places in the Psalms, the use of them glorified the Lord, and God looks at them positively. So it's not a sin to use musical instruments. You're not going to find many of the instruments we use today in there. You're not going to find an organ in the Psalms. You're not going to find several instruments, but the instruments they used glorified the Lord. And so the main point behind worship is that, are our hearts in the right place? Are we glorifying the Lord? We can, if we're using our voices to do that, good. If we're using musical instruments to do that, good. If we're using a paper towel to do that, good. We can use whatever we're using. If we're using it with a heart of worship, that's good. And so it's not necessary to use musical instruments, but we do it. If we're doing it to glorify the Lord, then it's good. So that's kind of the reasoning. That was a bit of a digression because you see this in the psalm, the use of musical instruments. So we use musical instruments when worshiping the Lord. This is one of the times when we gather together for worship that we are to give thanksgiving to God. That's one of the reasons that we gather together every week, is to worship Him, and part of that is thanksgiving, giving thanks for what He's done for us this week, and what we know, the blessings He's given to us the rest of our lives. Thanksgiving is part of our worship, and this is a time that we are to be doing it. Not just when Thanksgiving's coming up, but each and every week when we gather for worship. Another way we do this is through remembering what God has done and who He is. Verse 2 tells us that God is loving and that He's faithful. Aren't you thankful for that? I am. God doesn't necessarily have to be loving and thankful. He does because that's His character. But as far as we have control over, and as far as we're concerned, we have no control over God. God could be some nefarious, some evil, some plotting being, and that's not who He is. And I'm very thankful for that. I'm thankful that the God that we have is glorious, He's honest, He is steadfast, loving, and that He has given us very many blessings. Just think about all that God has done. And we only know a portion of what God has done, by the way. What's contained in Scripture is not every single act that God has done. What we've experienced in our own lives is not every single act that God has done. God has done many things, and they're all wondrous, they're all good, and they're all glorious. Have you ever looked out at the stars and thought, wow, God did that? Or you're looking at something in nature, flowers or animals, and you think, wow, God did that. Or you're looking at mountains or something else in nature and you think, wow, God did that. And you worship Him and you thank Him for that. I've done that and He's worthy of that. Those are acts that He has done. He is worthy to be worshiped for what He's created. He's created our bodies. Have you ever thought, when the doctor's telling you stuff, or you're learning about stuff in school and health class or whatever, and people are explaining the way the body works, and you think, wow, that is complicated and it just works perfectly. It's a perfectly designed machine. And we thank God for that. And he's worthy to be praised for that. God has done wondrous things in all that he's created. And he's done wonderful things for us as well. He's sent his son to die on the cross for our sins, that we might have eternal life. That's something we're to be thanking him for and worshiping him for eternity. Think about his constant provision for the church, what we talked about earlier, how he protects his church, how he empowers the church to do his work. Think about all that he's done that we have recorded in Scripture, how he delivered Israel from Egypt, how he allowed Israel many victories over the Canaanites, how he restored Israel from exile after he punished them, how he sent a Messiah to his people. All of the things that God has done, we are to be thankful for. There's much to be thankful for. And a lot of times we take it for granted, and especially if you've been in the church many years, you read these stories time and time again, and they kind of, the excitement and the wow factor kind of becomes dulled in our minds. But God is worthy to be praised for all that he's done. We also thank God for what he's done for each of us individually. We thank God for our individual salvation, for the blessings that he's given to us, the material prosperity that he's given to us, the families that he's given to us, all the blessings that we have as individuals, he is worthy to be thanked for. And we have much to be thankful for. So we need to be thankful for God. We need to remember what he has done for us. And by remembering, I'm not saying just call to mind. That's part of it. You can't remember without calling something to mind. But more than that, it is a time of reflection. It's not just simply going through a list and saying, God did this, 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 this. Thank you. It is reflecting on what God has done and what that means about who God is and what that means about how God loves us. And we are to worship him for that and be thankful to him for that. Lastly, we need to worship the Lord and be thankful to him through prayer. Psalm 92 is addressed to God. It is a prayer of thanksgiving. This is a prayer addressed to God. And so in our own prayer lives, when we talk to the Lord, we need to give thanks to God in prayer. Now, why exactly do we need to be thankful? Talked about some of these ways here, but let's look at what this psalm says. What do we have to be thankful for, and why are we to be thankful? Well, first, we need to be thankful because God has done great things. God has done great things. I talked about this, some of this already, but we have actions that God has done for us individually, things that God has done for us as Christians and as a church corporately, and things that he has done historically that we know that are great and wonderful and things worthy to be praised. Maybe God saved you from disaster or disease or something like that. Maybe something incredible in your own life. He is to be praised for that. That is worthy of remembrance. I can think of several times in my life where God has protected me from illness or from close calls on the road when I'm driving. And I thank him for that. And even small things that meant a lot to me, but they're small in the grand scheme of things, God is worthy to be thanked and to be praised for. I can remember even all the way back, which is small in the grand scheme of things, but it means a lot to me and I remember it. And when I think of it, I praise God for it. And when I was in junior high, we had several teachers who would, they had a policy, which I still think this is kind of strict, but anyway, maybe it was because I was at the wrong end of it, but they would give you a zero if you didn't have your homework in class. If it was in your locker and done, it didn't matter. You got a zero if you weren't in class with it when the bell rang. And so I remember several times that I would be thanking God at my locker because, especially math class, we had this binder, a massive binder of assignments and things. And as a junior high student, I was even more disorganized than I am now. So it's just like an explosion of papers that we had from math class. And I remember many times I would put my homework in a special place so that I wouldn't forget to bring it to class. But the problem is, and you may relate to this, if you put something in a special place, sometimes you forget where that special place was. And so I would be getting ready for class, and I'd get my binder and be on my way, and then I'd think, oh no, where's my homework? And then God would bring to mind where I put my homework or where it was, or he'd help me find it in a stack of papers where it had fallen in the locker or something like that. And that is small in the grand scheme of things. It really, really doesn't matter in the larger development of my life or eternity. But I thank God for that. I thank God for the little ways that he showed love and the little ways that he blessed me. And so it's even in little things like that that we need to be recalling to mind and remembering God and being thankful for what he's done for us in our lives. God has blessed us corporately as Christians as well. He's saved us through his Son. He blesses the church the opportunity to minister. I think a lot of times we feel like it's a burden to have to do things like evangelize or help with church or help with things like Christmas boxes. And we think, oh man, I have to serve. But it is a great blessing that we are able to participate in the work of God. That is a great blessing. God doesn't need us. It's not because God says, boy, I really need a number of people to help me out here because I can't do all of this myself. God can handle everything on his own. But it is a great blessing that we have to be able to participate in God's ministry, in the ministry of the gospel, the greatest ministry that there ever is, the greatest acts that we could ever be doing. And as I mentioned earlier, we need to remember what God has done historically as well. What he's done in the Bible, what he's done historically in our own lives, what he's done throughout history. You can see acts of God, and he's worthy to be praised for each and every one of those acts. Every time God acts, it's good. It may not feel good necessarily for us. It may not be something that we're real excited about, but it's always good. And we need to be thankful for those things. We need to remember those things. Another reason we need to be thankful is because God's enemies will be destroyed. We see that in our psalm today. We need to be thankful because God's enemies will be destroyed. We see this in verses 6 through 9 of our passage. The psalmist says that the stupid man or the fool cannot understand the greatness of God's works or the depths of God's wisdom. The fool won't be giving praise to God or be thanking God because he or she doesn't think that what God did was great, or they're simply ignorant. They simply don't know what God has done. Don't you feel like there are a lot of people out there like that right now? Sometimes we're like that. We forget what God has done and we're ignorant of what God is doing in our lives. But certainly there are people out there like that. They don't give credit to God. They think that all that is created was done by some accident, some mysterious accident, rather than having God designing and creating everything. There are people who do things like they decide that God's creation of perfect complementary genders is irrelevant today. It's a relic of the past, and that we get to decide what gender means. We get to decide what's important about gender. We get to decide rather than the one who created it. These are people who are opposed to God, whether they know it or not. They're standing in opposition of what he's created. They're standing in opposition of what God has done. And they dismiss the mighty acts of God in the Bible. And the wicked are all over the place. They seem to be sprouting up, just as what the psalmist says. We see this. We see it more and more in our society, more and more in the world. They seem to flourish for a time. It seems to be popular to stand opposed to God. And yet, they will perish. They will be destroyed because nobody ever wins against God. God has a perfect winning record. And we need to remember that. In contrast to these people, God will reign on high forever, we see in our psalm. God's enemies will be destroyed forever, and God will remain sovereignly in charge forever. Not only this, but in verse 10, God will exalt the faithful. What the psalmist means by God exalting his horn, the psalmist's horn here, is that God is strengthening him. Horns usually in the Bible, unless it's a literal horn on an animal, they usually refer to strength. So God is strengthening the psalmist. In a time of weakness, he restores his strength. He lifts him up. And the psalmist's enemies, on the other hand, the psalmist is restored, but his enemies are destroyed forever. They may seem to be flourishing, but they're going to be eliminated forever. And that is the fate of all those who don't believe in Jesus, all those who oppose the Lord. This is true of God's enemies today as well. They may seem to flourish and enjoy prosperity now. They may seem to have everything at their backs. They may seem to even, and they may have culture on their side. They may flourish. They may delight. They may have everybody tell them they're a good person and a great person, and yet they are still opposed to God, and in the end, their destination is destruction. Nobody ever defeats God, and we need to be thankful for that. Again, like I talked about earlier, it's not a mystery what happens in the end of time. It's not a mystery what happens at the end of Scripture. God wins. God wins. Those who follow him, those who believe in Christ, go on into eternity with him forever, and that is a blessing for us. It's not a mystery. We don't have to wonder who wins in the end. Is God going to actually come out, or are we on the right side? We know that we are. We know how it ends. There's just a period of time due to God's grace before Jesus comes back. We need to be thankful for that. We need to be thankful that God wins in the end. He's already secured it through Jesus' death on the cross. He secured his victory. Third, we need to be thankful because of God's blessings in our lives. We need to be thankful for the blessings that God has given to us individually. In verse 12 through 14, the psalmist is thankful because of the fact that the righteous flourish, that they grow, and that they bear fruit like a mighty tree. They're blessed by God. And we have these same blessings. We are planted in the house of the Lord and flourish in the courts of our God. In other words, we live in the presence of God. And rather, we should say that the presence of God lives inside of us because we as Christians, the moment we believe, receive the Holy Spirit in our lives. That is God living inside of us. That is a great blessing. That's a greater blessing than the psalmist had. This is a greater blessing than anybody prior to Pentecost had. They didn't have the universal gift of the Holy Spirit, those who followed God. We do. We have the presence of God inside of us, empowering us, convicting us, ministering to us, fellowshipping with us. And I think a lot of times we take it for granted. I'm not sure we can really comprehend all that that means, but to have an all-powerful, all-perfect, all-holy God living inside of a finite, limited, weak, sinful, selfish human being, that has to be a sacrifice for the Holy Spirit. And I can't understand quite what that sacrifice is or what that means, but God is with us. Even when we sin, even when we act the way that we shouldn't as Christians, the Holy Spirit does not abandon us. He doesn't forsake us. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can damage our relationship with God, but he is always with us. And that is something we ought to be very thankful for. That is something that we ought to always remember, that God is always with us, closer than the air we breathe, always ministering to us, always loving us. We need to remember that and be thankful for it. Beyond this, we have personal blessings, again, that God has given to us, like good health, long life, meeting our daily needs, blessing us with family and friends. We need to be thankful for all those things. We need to remember even the physical blessings that God has given to us. And here in the United States, we have much to be thankful for. We have much to be thankful for. We need to remember that and not take things for granted, not be entitled. We need to be thankful to God for all that he's given to us. Finally, we need to be thankful because of who God is. We need to be thankful because of who God is. We need to be thankful because of the kind of God that we have. We see some of the attributes of God in our psalm for today, not all-inclusive, obviously, but it does include some of the things that he is. In verse 2, we see that God is perfectly loving. God shows his steadfast love to his people. This is his, in Hebrew, hesed love. Hesed is covenantal, loyal love. That means God is faithful even when those that he makes a covenant with are not. God always fulfills his end of the bargain. God is always loving, no matter if he's receiving love in return. And that is something we have to be thankful for, because God is not the one who ever abandons his end of the deal. But we frequently put things ahead of God. We sin. We forget. We're weak in our flesh. And we don't do what we ought to do. And yet God still continues to love us, still continues to bless us, still continues to give us what he's promised to give us. That is something we ought to be thankful for. God doesn't have to do that. That's not because of anything we are or how awesome we are. That is because of who God is and what he has established. It's all by the grace of God. And we ought to be thankful for that. We ought to remember that. God is perfectly righteous. We see this in verse 15. There's no unrighteousness in him. We should be thankful for that as well. God always does what is good and right. And that is hard to remember sometimes. That is hard to remember when we get a bad diagnosis at the doctor. That's hard to remember when we feel like we're not going to make ends meet. That's hard to remember when things aren't going the way we want it to. That's hard to remember when relationships crumble that we never thought would. And yet God is always good and righteous. He's in complete control, and he's always good, and he's always righteous. And that's something we need to remember. That is something to be thankful for. We need to be thankful that God is not like some of the gods of the Roman pantheon that they had, where some of them act mischievously and some of them act kind of like mischievous teenagers. God is not like that. God is perfectly sovereign. He's completely in control of everything, and he's perfectly good and he's perfectly holy. And we ought to be thankful for that. We ought to be thankful for who God is. Every attribute God has is good because he's fundamentally good. There are many more attributes of God, but and you can read about those throughout Scripture, but God is good. We need to be thankful for that. So as I hope you've been able to see this morning, we have much to be thankful for each and every day, not just one day of the week, not just one day of the year, but we have things to be thankful for all of the time. We are very blessed. Even if not physically blessed, even if our life, we're having a really tough time, we have spiritual blessings that we can be thankful for. We have future promised blessings that we can be thankful for. We have much to be thankful for in our lives, and we need to be thankful all the time. This is something that, as Christians, this is a proper response, a proper position of worship before the Lord. It's not optional. It's not just if you want to be especially spiritual, you give thanksgiving, but it's something that we need to be doing all the time as Christians. We need to be thankful and praise God because he's done great things. He will destroy his enemies. We need to be thankful because of how he's blessed us, because of who he is. So I hope you spend time this Thanksgiving season thanking and praising God for what he's done in your life. And use that time, if you frequently forget about blessings you have, you frequently forget to give thanksgiving, use this as a time to kind of reform that pattern in your life. Start a pattern of thanksgiving where you're giving thanks to God regularly, all of the time, for all the blessings that he's given you. Make it a daily part of your lives. Now, I want to close by something that somebody in our life group shared with us. He shared that somebody once challenged him to think about what he would have if he only had what he thanked God for. And so he said at that time, he thought, well, I wouldn't have anything. He thought, that's not good. So he said that challenged him to give thanksgiving to God more and more often. And so that's my challenge to you. Think about, what if you only had what you gave God thanks for? What if you only had this week what you had given God thanks for this past week? Would you have anything of significance? Would you have what's most important to you? Would you have anything at all? And I think that was a good challenge for me, and I think it was a good challenge for all of us personally to think about and think, you know, I have a lot to be thankful for. I have a lot that I value that God has given to me. And I need to be coming before the Lord and giving him thanks and worshiping him for all the glorious things that he's given to us. So I hope you do that. I hope you do that not just this week, but throughout the rest of your weeks, throughout the rest of your lives. And remember the Lord and all the blessings he's given to you. Let's close in prayer.